Welcome to the Chasing Freedom Show. I'm Noah Evans, and on this show, I'm going to creatively break down real estate deals with top investors across the country to help you become closer to achieving financial freedom. Alrighty, let's get to it. What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Chasing Freedom Show with Noah. Today, I've got an awesome guest, and I have no doubt you guys are going to learn a ton from Austin Rutherford with Elevate Homes. Austin, welcome to the show, brother.
I'm looking forward to being here, my man.
Cool. Well, hey, I want to jump into your story because for anyone following you, they see this amazing life, this empire that you've built. And I think the part that we get caught up on entrepreneurship is we forget what you went through to get there. And we think that there's some type of shortcut to success. And so I want to start with, let's start with your why. Like, what got you into real estate? And then I'd love to break down some of the rough parts of this journey that you definitely went through to build this empire that you have.
100%, man. Definitely. So kind of my why, and it's kind of a little bit shallow at the beginning, but honestly, like getting started, like I wanted to be rich. You know, I wanted to have the nice things. I wanted to travel. I wanted to have the cars and the watches and the vacations and the private jets and all those things. And my original dream was to go to the NBA, and that was going to get me rich. Then I fell into real estate. I was like, all right, this works too. So kind of went all in on that. It's changed over time, you know, to like giving back, helping other people. That's what I get true enjoyment out of now. But at the beginning, it was just, you know, I wanted the money, to keep it real with you.
Nah, dude, I like that. I think that's huge too, because it's like sometimes I think people feel guilty by being honest with themselves. But I think you got to be honest about your why, because that's what gets you up in the morning, you know?
For sure.
Absolutely, 100%. Man. I love that. So, okay, so you started off, you wanted to be wealthy. How did you stumble upon real estate?
Yeah, so the basketball was my life. Like, I went to prep school, out of high school to play. I did it 24/7, 365, and, you know, kind of fell out of love with that dream and kind of felt lost, you know, like a lot of people at some point in their life, whether they're going through a relationship breakup or they get fired from a job or whatever it is. Like, I felt like I had nothing to do with my life. I was like, well, what do I do now? And for whatever reason, I turned to books. Somebody gave me a book. It was called Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill.
Yeah.
Amazing book, highly recommend reading it. And that's really what changed my life. I read that, it opened me up to the possibilities of real estate. I started journaling. I was on my rooftop. There was a 6 or 9 unit apartment building across the way, and it clicked. It was like, if all those people are paying one person rent, like, he's got to be making money. And I was like, all right, that's all I needed to hear. Fell in love with real estate, you know, started buying, you know, little books, you know, $10, $20, $100 little, like, you know, real estate package things. And I moved back home to Ohio, ended up buying my first rental property when I was 20, was broke after that because I put all my money into it. Met a mentor, learned how to flip houses, flipped my first house at 22, made $100,000 in profit, reinvested it, and then business just took off from there.
Let's break down just a small part of that story. When you reinvested that $100,000, what did you reinvest it into?
Yeah, so I paid off all my debts, which I don't know, it was like 20, 30, 40, 50 grand. I don't remember exactly, but paid off my debts and then put it all back into marketing within the business. Now, I didn't spend 50 grand on marketing day one, but like it was all there as operating capital. Like I didn't take a trip. I didn't celebrate. I didn't go out to dinner. I didn't buy a pair of sneakers. I didn't go buy a watch, a gold chain, nothing. Like I put $100,000 at 22 years old right back into the business. Yeah. So a lot of people get money and then they run away with it and then they blow it. Like, you got to use that money to set yourself up for the future.
I think that's such a huge, crucial part of success. I mean, on a much smaller scale, my very first deal ever was a wholesale, and it put 10 grand in my pocket while I was working a corporate job. Yep. That 10 grand was equivalent to like 3 months of pay for me.
Facts.
So, and the same thing, I was actually scared. And I think if I would have invested right away, I think I could have had some compounding results, but I was like, you know what? I'm going to sit on this 10 grand and not touch it for 90 days. And then I'll decide what I'm going to do with it after.
100%.
But I've seen it. You hear a lot of the stories that the people get their first big check and all of a sudden they pull up in a new Range Rover and you're like, dude, that's not permanent success, man. Okay. So let's jump into the next part of this next part of this transition. For you to get from 21 years old, buying your first house, 22, flipping your first house to where you are now. I mean, you've built this really, really amazing empire, man. It's very impressive. It's aspiring to watch you on Instagram and stuff like that and see what you're doing. But I know that there were some major obstacles that you must have had to overcome to be sitting where you are now. I'd like to go deep on a few of those, if you don't mind us opening up that part of your life.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm an open book. So, you know, kind of how I started, I skipped a very big portion of that process. And I think that's the biggest lesson that people can take away from it. So I fell in love with the idea of real estate. I was like, cool, passive residual income is what I really fell in love with. I was like, cool, let me buy rental properties to make money passive residually, not working every month. Sounded good to me. Bought a rental property. I had about $30,000 saved. I put it all as a down payment. And then I was like, well, broke now. Like if I want to buy more rental property, it took me 20 years to save that much money. Like I gotta make money faster. So literally right after that, my agent made about $8,000 on a commission for representing me on that deal. And I was like, oh, cool. Like I'm gonna go get my real estate license. And like me, like I'm like, when I have an idea, I'm in. I got my license in like 2 weeks. Like from starting it to being licensed was a 2 week process. So a lot of people were like, oh, you know, I'm gonna take a 6 month or 12 month class. Like, no, like I'm in. And then I got my license, sold like two houses, hated it. And I was driving into work, valeting car at 7 a.m. I was on my way in, heard on the radio. It was like, you know, if you want to get rich flipping houses, you know, come to this free seminar. I was like, bet, I'm in. So I went to the seminar. Then it was like an upsell to a $300 3-day seminar, went to that. And then after 3 days, it was an upsell into a $25,000 mentorship. And it felt right, right? I was like, I'm in. So I lied about, you know, how much money I made, opened up a bunch of credit cards, maxed my credit cards out, joined the program. Thought I was going to get rich overnight. This kind of where the story starts, right? Like I paid $25,000 on a credit card, 18 months, no interest. I think I was at the end of 20 or the beginning of 21 years old. So still very young, 18 months, no interest. I was like, this is it. From that day to the day I made money flipping houses was 16 months. It was 16 months of valeting cars, 50 to 60 hours a week, every single week for the entire 16 months, going to college, taking 15 credit hours. That's a whole full-time job in and of itself. So technically like two full-time jobs and trying to start my real estate business on the side for 16 months straight. Like I remember driving home from work one day, I fell asleep at the wheel because I was so tired and I hit the curb, woke up. I was driving 50 mile an hour on the sidewalk with a light pole in front of me. And I woke up, thank God, and strolled back onto the street, drove home, started making phone calls to sellers. Like there's a process there that a lot of people miss on. Like I always see the meme. It's like somebody hacking away and then they're like walking away and then somebody's still hacking. And then the diamond's like right there. You know, people give up too soon. So like they see everything I have now. And yeah, I made $107,000 net profit on my first deal, which changed my life. But I grinded my face off for 16 months straight. And that's what a lot of people would, you know, miss out on these things. They think that, you know, this is a get rich quick thing. You can get rich, but it can take some time as well.
Dude, you gave me chills with that story, man. I just hope that the listeners will go back and re-listen to that and see exactly what you just dropped on them, which is I can relate it to this book I just finished called The Psychology of Money. And they talk about the people that you see that are where you one day hope to be are simply there because they've outlasted everybody else who's quit or thought that the grass was greener somewhere else and switched paths. Or, you know, we see that a lot. I'm sure you see it a lot with anybody that you're trying to help in real estate. I know you do. It seems like you do a little bit of coaching, right?
Yep.
As well. Yeah. So it's like, that's like so frustrating to watch. Like, you know, there's been a couple people who have come under me and seek my mentorship. And it's like, they're in it for 6 months. And then about that 5 month mark, you start to see them start to phase out. And they're like, I don't think it's for me, man. I thought this was going to be quicker. Yeah, it doesn't work. And I'm like, stay in it. If you quit, you have no chance of success now. But if you keep 100%. Going, you never know how much further you have to keep digging to find that diamond you're talking about.
100%, man. Yeah. It blows me away. Like there, one deal can change your life. That's it, by the way. And a lot of people, which is crazy to me, they're like, it doesn't work. I made a post on it this morning. People are like, people think everything in life is a scam. Like any way of making money is a scam. Yeah. Like people are making money. Like this is real, right? So when people say real estate doesn't work, they look at myself or they look at you and they know for a fact it works. So why are you sitting there telling yourself that it does not work, mm-hmm. right? If you're trying to like land on Mars, like, okay, that's a question. Nobody's been able to do that before. But flipping real estate, buying rental properties, wholesaling real estate, it doesn't get much more complicated than that.
No.
More easier than that.
No.
Like we're living proof of it. Just copy and paste. It does work. It might just take some time to get there.
Absolutely, man. No, I completely agree with that. There's some statistic out there and I don't know the numbers. What did they say? 80% of statistics are made up anyways, but you know, but the volume of people who have become millionaires in real estate is higher than any other industry. And yep. I fully believe that. And I think even now in this day and age, that's probably, there's probably nothing more concrete truth than that, because there's so much information out there on how to go flip a house. There's books on it. There's guys like you who are constantly sharing valuable information on how to do it. And it's, and you know, you respond to all your DMs, right? So it's like, you're there. If someone has a question and they're not wasting your time and they're serious and they're also going to seek to add value to you, you're going to give them trade secrets. You know, one of the things I started doing is the people that ask me questions, instead of just responding to them in a private message, I'll say, hey, lay out your question a little bit more thoroughly and I'll make a video on it. And I'll post it for everybody, you know? So, I think that there's no reason that if you want to be in real estate, it's just excuses. If you have decided in your heart that you want to do it and you're not doing it, you're just making up excuses. There's no reason to not jump.
1,000% agree. Yeah.
Cool, brother. Well, let's jump into the specifics of Burr Real Estate Investing. So you've done really well in this area, and I'd love if we can start with some of the fundamentals, some of the high impact things someone needs to understand to go be successful in this model. And then I'd love to jump into a specific deal.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So the Burr method is basically, I say it as like getting a free house. So like, if I told you could get a free house and make money every single month on it, like how many times do you want to do that? The answer is unlimited, right? So what is the Burr, right? It's buy with other people's money, renovate with other people's money, rent it out, refinance it with the bank to stabilize it, and then repeat the process time and time again. So the key thing here is having access to what we call private money lenders to be able to fund these deals, so you do not have to use any of your own money. So that's kind of high level what it is. And you got to make sure the numbers are accurate. You got to be all in for 75 cents on the dollar. You got to make sure it positively cash flows. But if you can get a deal like that, again, you can do that process and literally own a property without putting a penny of your money into it and make cash flow on it every single month for the rest of your life and your kids' life and your kids' kids' lives. So I don't know why it's not taught in schools.
Seriously, it totally should be. I mean, along with many other things, instead we're learning about, we won't go into that. okay, so I'm going to play devil's advocate of somebody who's like just getting started and they're not grasping this concept, right? How do I get other people's money, Austin? I don't know anybody with money.
Yeah, 100%. So it's called private money lenders. So like, for an example, on the first house flip that I did, it was $250,000. It was a $74,000 purchase, $170,000 rehab. So I had to raise about $250,000 to fund this deal. I didn't have that money. I had a couple grand maybe to my name. So before that, I've been networking in real estate, trying to learn, right? So short answer, money's everywhere. But how I came to get this person is I was networking at a real estate meetup about a year prior. It's going around, you know, working the room, talking to people. I ended up talking to this lady. She's like, yeah, you know, I'm starting to get into real estate. I was like, hey, me too. She's like, yeah, I've been working. You know, I got a retirement account. I'm rolling it to a self-directed IRA. And, you know, I'm going to use that to invest into my own real estate deals. I was like, oh, that's awesome. You know, best of luck to you. Exchange numbers, parted ways. A year later, I got this deal. So I was sitting there like, all right, well, call my parents, you know, call my aunt, call my uncle. And nobody had enough money to like fund the deal. And so I called her. I was like, hey, like, how's business? And, you know, small talk, caught up. She's like, yeah, you know, I haven't really done anything yet. You know, still trying to get into the business. And I was like, perfect. You know, I actually have this opportunity. You know, here's what it looks like. You know, is this something that you're interested in investing in? And then she ended up funding the deal. So like, money can literally come from anywhere. It's 100% relationship based. It's like you calling me and me lending you money. Like, it's literally that easy. You obviously just need to find somebody that, one, has some money of some sort. There's a lot of different ways to get access to money. And number two, they have to trust you because they believe in you to do the deal. My lenders don't even ask me underwriting on the deal. Most of them don't even know the address, but they trust me and believe in me. And that's why they lend me money. So you got to get educated, number one. I actually asked that first lender, I was like, why'd you lend me the money? And she was like, because every question I asked you, you had an answer to. I was like, ooh, that's it. So you got to know, you know, the process of it, the frequently asked questions, how their money's secured, how the money flows, all those things. And then having a conversation about money becomes a lot easier to be able to raise it, to be able to fund your own real estate deals.
What's that? What's some of the advice for someone that's never went out and raised private money as far as like the paperwork goes and the legal process? Because there's a whole system there that probably should be followed. But I'd love for you to share kind of at a high level what that would look like and how people protect not only the people investing in them, but also themselves.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, you know, this is my process. You know, this is what my attorneys, you know, have given me. Definitely talk with your own, but kind of my process is I never touch the money until it's closed. Mm-hmm. So all money goes to the title company or the attorney who's ever facilitating the transaction. So when I'm buying a property from a seller for, let's say, 100 grand and it needs a $50,000 renovation, I'm going to borrow $150,000. And the day of closing, they're sending 150 grand to the title company. The title company is sending 100 grand to the seller, minus, you know, a couple grand in closing costs. Then they're sending me $47,000 roughly to fund the construction of this deal. So it's at closing, they get a lender's title insurance policy. They get a hazard policy. So if it burns down, floods, anything, they get paid. I sign a mortgage. So they get a mortgage on the property, sometimes first mortgage, sometimes second mortgage. And they get a promissory note from the business and me myself. So I'm personally guaranteeing the loan. So even if the business goes bankrupt, I'm still liable for that money to pay them back whatever that they lent to me. So a lot of questions I get from lenders is like, well, what if you lose money? I lose money, not you. Like, I've lost $30,000 on a house. I sold a house and I paid the buyer 30 grand to buy it from me. And my lender made $30,000 in interest because I told them I was going to pay him an interest rate. And the deal has nothing to do with it. They're lending me money and I'm guaranteeing to pay them back, right? Absolutely. I don't use the word guarantee, by the way. But like, I signed a note to pay and I paid even though I lost money. So hazard policy, lender's policy, promissory note, and a mortgage on the deal.
That's so helpful. I mean, if you guys are listening, take out your notebooks, take out your pens, go back, write that down, get familiar with that process. Go practice, you know, the pitch of how to raise private money with a few people in your market. There's probably tons of people willing to help you. Sure. And get good at that, because I think right there, what you just shared, if I look back over the last, you know, 24 months of my business really kind of having an uptick, it ultimately comes down to my access to private money increased 10x. So therefore, yep, I could grow so much faster. Because if we go back and we say, okay, you want to burr properties, just like you said, your story started with $30,000 that you'd worked your entire life to save up. You put it all into one property. You said, well, what now? I don't have any more money to invest, right? Yep. So instead, you go out, you raise this money, you get someone else's money in the deal, you pay them an interest rate contingent on finding a deal that can afford them to pay or can afford to pay that interest rate and still, you know, cash out. But that's such a crucial part of growing and scaling, is that raising of that private capital.
Yeah, so two things with that. Something I heard early on, it was like, dig your well before you're thirsty. Well, Austin, I don't have a deal yet. Like, should I be talking to private money? Yes, dig your well before you're thirsty. Mm-hmm. There will come a time where you will run out. Even if you got like $1 million and you're brand new, like, oh, I'm good, I got $1 million. You get a $2 million deal. Like, there's always going to be a time where you need that money. So that's the first takeaway. And then the second takeaway, people are like, well, you know, why would I pay somebody else to do the work? Or why would I pay somebody else interest to lend me the money, you know, when I can do it myself, maybe, right? And one of my mentors very early on, right at the beginning, was like, all right, look at it like this. If you can do, let's say, if you use all your own money and do all the work yourself, realistically, you're probably going to do maybe 2 deals a year. So it's going to take you 6 months to do a deal. So 2 deals a year, let's say you make $75,000 per house. It's $150,000 a year. It's great money. Don't get me twisted. But let's say you use other people's money and you use other people's time, contractors. So instead of doing 2 deals in a year, let's say you do 2 deals per quarter. So you do 8 deals in a year, but you only make $30,000 in profit per deal instead of $75,000 in profit per deal. 8 times 30 is $240,000. So you make 240 grand using none of your money and none of your time versus 150 grand using all of your money and all of your time. By the way, let's say one deal goes bad on both sides. Now you're making 230 grand to 75 grand. Mm-hmm. So you're assuming everything going to go perfectly. It never does, by the way. Mm-hmm. So I was like, when he broke that down to me, I was like, damn, like, I'm doing all this. Like, I'm always using other people's time and other people's money because I want to make more money and have the freedom behind it.
Yeah. Yeah. I know that makes so much sense. And I think that if you look at that too, you also have to pay yourself an hourly wage, right? Like, whether or not you actually pull that out of the business, your time is worth money. And in the first scenario you gave, like you said, you spent all your time. So you may have made 150 grand, but realistically, let's say your time is worth 75. You only profited $75,000. Otherwise, you worked for a wage. In the 100%. Other scenario, though, you still pay yourself a wage, but your wage is paid by managing the flips, managing the money, managing the contractors. It's very different. Yeah. So
it's freedom. You can do that anywhere in the world, but you can't swing a hammer anywhere in the world.
Absolutely, man. Well, let's go through let's go through a very specific deal. The more granular and detail-oriented you can get, I think the more that we'll all take from that. But let's go through a burr. Let's go through one of these successful models.
Sure. So one of the best ones I've done was a duplex, and I ended up buying it for like $11,000. So it was, you know, great. It was destroyed, by the way, but bought it for 11 grand. And then it needed $110,000 in construction. So I was all in for like $121,000, borrowed that from somebody else to fund the entire deal. Once the deal was done, the new value of the property was $220,000. So the bank gives you a 75% cash out based on the value of the property. So 75% over 220 is like 165 or something like that. So I'm all in for 121 and the cash out is 165. Now I have interest and closing costs and holding costs, call that 20 grand. So I'm really all in for $141,000 and my cash out's 165. So when I refinanced this property to keep it as a rental, the bank gave me 165. I took 141 of that to pay off all my expenses. And then there's still $24,000 of profit left that I put that in my own pocket. And the amazing thing, loans are not taxable income. So $24,000 is 100% tax-free, which is like $40,000 in actual taxable income. So let's look at it like this. If I would have sold that house instead of refinanced it, I'd have made, call it 60 grand, net profit. So I would have made 60 and I would have paid taxes on it. So I made 24,000 without taxes, which is really like $40,000 with taxes. So we're only talking about a $20,000 difference there in profit. Mm-hmm. And I was able to keep it as a rental property. So I kept it as a rental property. I rented out both sides for $1,200 a month. My monthly expenses was about $1,300 a month. So I was making about $1,000 per month on cash flow just from owning that property. And the beautiful thing about the Burr method is you get cash flow, you get appreciation, you get depreciation, and you get tenant mortgage buy down. 3.5 years later, I sold that property for $365,000. So 3.5 years later, I walked away with another $200,000 on top of about $40,000 in cash flow that I made from keeping it as a rental property. So, you know, you don't have to sell it, right? Like I sold 10 of my properties for a very specific reason, to make an investment decision outside of real estate. But where else can you do that? I got a free house. I actually got paid $24,000 tax-free to do it. I made $1,000 a month and it appreciated hundreds of thousands of dollars over the next few years. So again, like once you learn this, it's like, why would somebody not do this? Like,
it's free. Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. The real estate side of my brain is just drooling over that deal. That's a really, really good one, man. That's cool. Well, hey, if you don't mind sharing, what did you end up selling all of those other properties to go into? Was it crypto or?
It was crypto.
Was it?
Yeah.
Nice, man. That's cool.
I think I sold like 10 units or something like that. And, you know, took a lot of money off the table and put it all into crypto.
That's awesome. Do you mind sharing with the listeners what coins you ended up going into?
Yeah. So my holdings in no specific, you know, order right now is Bitcoin, Ethereum, Theta, T-Fuel, XRP, Hex, Pulse Chain, Pulse X, and VeChain.
I like it, man. That's cool. I think there's so much more to unplug there, but we'll stay focused on real estate. So, okay. So we just went through a very successful Burr model. I think it would be cool to share. I normally don't do two deals, but I you've got so much value that you're giving inside of these little deals for people to unpack that I think it'd be fun to go through one that maybe didn't go as planned.
Yeah, for sure. So, I'll talk briefly about two of them, one bigger deal, one smaller deal. And I'm rounding numbers roughly because I don't know 100%, but I bought a deal and the purchase and the renovation versus the refi. So rounding numbers, right? Let's say I'm all in for 700 and let's say I'm all in for 800 grand and then its value is $1 million. So my purchase and rehab was $800,000 and interest and closing costs. Like my all in was 800 grand and the new value is $1 million. So when a bank goes to cash out refinance at 75% loan to value, the bank only gives me back $750,000, but I owe 800. So I took that 750 grand. I paid off 750 grand. I still owed $50,000. So I actually went to another private money lender that was like, hey, like there's a bank on this deal. They're in first position. I want to borrow $50,000 from you in second position. I'll pay you 12% interest on it. So I'll pay you $500 a month, every single month forever. and you got to lend me 50 grand. They're like, all right, I'm in. They lend me 50 grand. I took that 50 grand, paid the rest off. So now I didn't owe anybody besides the bank's $750,000 and this person's $50,000, which is $500 a month. And I'm paying that off every single month until the property's paid off, right? So the rent on that is like $8,000-ish a month. And my total expenses, including the additional second mortgage, is like $6,000-ish a month. And we're actually in the process of doing some Airbnbs on that property. Mm-hmm. And I think we'll bring in like $12,000 to $14,000 a month instead of $8,000. So it's going to turn into a really good deal. But like, that's one of like worst case scenarios is when you cash out is less than what you owe. You know, hopefully it's within like a grand or two, and then you can just pay it out of your own pocket. But when you get into bigger deals, like messing up 1 or 2% turns into $10,000 or $20,000. Mm-hmm. So what I did, I didn't want to put the 50 grand up. So I just borrowed it from somebody else. So again, having access to private money is huge, right? That's a bigger deal. Smaller deal, you know, very simple. Like if you buy it for 50 grand, you put 50 grand into it. So you're all in for $100,000. And again, you know, let's say it's worth, I should have used better numbers. Let's say you buy it for 40 and you put 40 into it. So you're all in for 80 grand. And again, that includes, you know, interest mm-hmm. and to your lender, closing costs, et cetera, worth 100, cash out, refi 75. So it's a $5,000 difference. Now you have a choice that you have to make. Do you have 5 grand to bring to the table? If you do, great. You can own a house for $5,000 and still make monthly passive income, which is amazing. Or if you don't have 5 grand, you can raise it. Or if you can't do that, sell the property, take your $10,000-$15,000 in profit, move on to the next deal.
Yep, absolutely. I think that there's an important thing to think about there, and that's to not get attached to an outcome, right? Sure. Because at the end of the day, you may have started a project with the intent to burr it, but if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. There'll be other properties that come down the pipeline. I'm definitely guilty of this. I've gotten way too attached to properties, and I'll fight and claw to try to keep it. And it's like, dude, just because it had some cool aspect, you know, something unique to the property, doesn't mean I need to keep every single house that does. Yeah, yep. I get way too attached to homes.
I mean, I've done both ways. Like I've had burrs turn into flips and mm-hmm. flips turn into burrs. So like it can go either way.
Absolutely.
I mean, the building I'm in, it's a 400 unit complex. They built it to sell. They built it as condos and then they got done. And then the rents went up massively. And they're like, forget that. We're going to keep it as a rental property. So like, you got to be able to have, you know, multiple exit strategies within a deal because things do change 100%.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's totally true. I mean, we just went through this with, we burred an 11 unit apartment complex out in Nampa, Idaho, and full intent keeping it all day. But same thing, we got way more in rents than we thought and it changed the valuation of that property. And we're sitting there and we're like, I don't know, man, it makes a lot more sense to sell this thing and go buy a bunch in the Midwest. Cause we can like triple our unit count. So, yep. So one thing I did notice that I wanted to pick your brain on, you talked about when you started these purchase prices of these homes in the $11,000 to $20,000 range, and then you started talking about the price of these homes in this $800,000 to $900,000 range. Yep. Is that all in the same market, or did you jump markets?
It's all in the same market. You know, a little bit of it is based on, you know, catching the market before it took off. But mm-hmm. I mean, those were still amazing deals, you know, $11,000, $22,000, $50,000 purchases. But like now we're buying those same houses for, you know, 100 grand, give or take.
Yeah.
So, but it's all the same market, but the larger the price points, the more unit counts as well. Right.
For sure.
Like I just closed on, and actually I was making a YouTube video, before we jumped on here, like drafting it, and it was like how to get to $1 million. And I was going to tell my story about like banging my head against the wall for 5 years, flipping, renting, wholesaling, the burr method, like doing the whole real estate business to become a millionaire versus 2 months ago, almost 2 months ago, I closed on a deal. I bought it for 3.1. The renovation was 200 grand. So I'm all in for $3.3 million. Today, as is, it appraised for $5 million. So one deal, my net worth is $1.7 million on one deal. And it took me 4 to 5 years doing it the single family way. Right. So again, no right or wrong answer. Like I've done them both.
Right.
But like the way that you grow faster is by doing bigger deals. It's the same exact thing, same process, same money raise, same burr method, same refinance, same everything. There's just more zeros on the
end. Oh my, so dude.
I like zeros.
This is so weird. I literally was in a coffee shop yesterday with my acquisitions manager talking about this. Uh-huh. But I think that the one part of it that is, we should talk about is it's confidence. right? So it's a lot easier for someone who's maybe never done a deal to conceptualize, okay, I have $100,000 of debt on this property, 50 of it's for the purchase and 50 of it's for the rehab. And I'm not going to lie, I deal with, you know, the average purchase price out here in Boise, Idaho is like 350 grand. And then we're raising about 100 for rehab. And, you know, we're on average, we're selling for right in that five to six range. I'm not going to lie. I'm looking at deals now in the same boat you're talking about where like we're looking at like a $2 million acquisitions. Yep. It scares me a little bit, but I'll tell you what scares me a lot is like a $10 million acquisitions. So that's terrifying to me, right? So I think that there is the confidence in doing the smaller deals will give you the confidence to do the bigger deals. But I agree completely. I just had this conversation yesterday with my acquisitions manager.
I agree 100%. And I think it's also like a little bit of like who you surround yourself with and who you listen to, right? You know, because like if I got a $100 million deal today, I can't do that deal, but I have one phone call to make and then we're partnering on the deal because I already know who I'm calling. Right?
Absolutely.
So, and when I was doing like these $100,000 deals, a $3 million deal would have scared me 100%. But again, I think it's because I was running in circles where everybody was doing single family houses, right? So surround yourself with different types of people and then the conversation starts to change. One of my mentors told me when you start to ask yourself different questions, you begin to get different answers. So how do I want to get to 100 million? It's a very different end goal, but how do I want to get to 10 million? 10 million you can do in single family. 100 million, very difficult to do in single family. You got to go to multifamily. So surrounding yourself with different people and asking yourself different questions will get you to different end results.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you protect yourself or decipher between feeling like a shiny object entrepreneur and being like, well, you know what? No, man, like I really understand the single family realm. I'm successful in the Burr area. Like the grass isn't always greener. How do you decipher between making sure you're not being like the grass is always greener on the other side person and also the other side of it, which is like, well, no, maybe the opportunity really is better, but should I leave what I'm already good at?
For sure. So people like, I always get the question, like, how should I start? Should I start with single family, multifamily, big rehab, little rehab? And I'm like, start with whatever opportunity presents itself first, right? Like that's how I got into multifamily by just regular deals, right? And just happened to be, boom, here's an 8-unit apartment complex. It's like, oh, cool. Sounds like a good deal. Let's do it, right? So I haven't necessarily just targeted one or the other, right? You know, I've just marketed and then whatever opportunity comes my way, real estate wise, I find a way to make money on it. Whether I can do it myself and flip it, whether I can't do it and I want to wholesale it, whether I got to, you know, find some way to get a bigger deal done. Again, I haven't ran into that issue, like, $100 million deal yet. Hopefully I do very soon. But like, you know, I've just found a way to get the deal done. So, you know, it's different than like, you know, just marketing to like 100+ unit complexes. Mm-hmm. Like, again, you can do that, right? And you can call, you know, the GCs, the Tim Bratz, those guys, if you get an opportunity, but you're going to get a very, very, very small piece of that for bringing the deal to the table. And again, nothing wrong with that. That small piece, your next deal, you can have a huge piece, right? So there's no right or wrong answer to it. I've just taken the route of marketing in general, and then whatever good opportunity comes my way, figuring out a way how to profit on it.
I like that, man. I think that probably clears up a lot for a lot of people. Cause I mean, you know, even I run into it. Sometimes I feel guilty looking at an RV park and I'm like, oh man, I would love to do this deal, but it's so far out of my realm. And I'm like, I financially have the ability to take it down, but does that mean that I should, you know? So
in my opinion, what I would do. So like growing up through business, I was like, bro, I want 100% of this grape. Right. And it's changed a lot over the last few years. It's like, I just want pieces of stuff now. Mm-hmm. Right. So if I got an RV, I don't know how to do an RV park. I have zero idea, but I know the person I would call right now. Cause I know the person that does RV parks and owns thousands of them. Right. Boom. I'm calling her. I'm getting 10-15% equity in the deal, whatever it is. And we're going to do the deal together. So like, I'm with you 100%, but I'm not trying to figure that out anymore. I'm just making the phone call, connecting the pieces and getting a piece of the pie.
Yeah. That's funny you said that. Cause that's what I did. I made that phone call.
I love it.
Sweet brother. Well, we've got some awesome questions for you. One of them actually came from my acquisitions manager, Justin. We were talking about you coming on the show yesterday and he's like, man, I got a good question you should ask him. So I wanted to give him the shout out for coming up the question. Cause I really liked it. Yep. He wanted to know if you lost it all today, how would you get it back?
Man, do it all over again. I would, number one, networking is everything. So the power of the people you surround yourself with, you know, having guys like me when I started and I was able to like connect with that person, game changer, right? So I'd go to every networking event humanly possible. And then I would start marketing as much as I could afford, you know, whether I had $100 a month, $0 a month, or $10,000 a month, I would do some sort of marketing, whether that's cold calling, SMS, door knocking, physically going out, knocking on doors, cold calling on the phone myself, whatever it was, do as much marketing as possible, because deals do not come without marketing, right? You can't get a deal without a deal. The only way you're going to get a deal is by swinging the bat. So you got to talk to people to even be in the realm of possibility of getting a deal. And then the other bigger thing for me, I was a one-man show for like the first 3 to 4 years of my business, right? I was making great money doing it, but like I was working 20 hours a day, every 7 days a week, like every day. And I wish I would have outsourced and hired sooner, you know, hired the cold callers, hired the assistants, hired the acquisitions people. Once you start making a little bit of money, you know, build a team so you can grow a lot faster. That's definitely something I would have changed.
Absolutely. And if you hire the right people too, like they bring ideas that sometimes you're just looking right past, you know, 100%. You're in the trenches. You can't sometimes see that there's an opportunity just sitting right there. And that's something I've tried to be mindful of, is like a lot of times they'll bring up ideas and sometimes I shoot it down too quickly. And I'm like, you know what? No. Hear them out, listen to them. Yep. Sometimes they got better ideas than me. I mean, some of the stuff they come up with made the company a ton of money. And I'm like, wow, I feel stupid for not seeing that. But I mean, that's the value of having a team. So
100%.
Cool. Now that's a great answer to that question. Okay. So we had another question. These are some of the standard questions for the show. So what is your idea of chasing freedom? What does that look like for you?
Freedom, like literally being anywhere at any time in the world, without, you know, having to be tied to anything. So, I mean, making a move to Florida was like, I'm from Ohio, you know, making a move to Florida was a big thing. Cause like, I was scared to walk away from the business. And, you know, a lot of things happened within my business, within my life. I was like, man, F this, like I'm out. So, you know, move to Florida. So that is freedom, right? You know, we're going on a 1 or 2 month vacation, hopefully 3 month vacation later this year. And like, I want to be able to do that and not have to worry about money and not have to worry about finances and not have to worry about those things. So, I mean, freedom to me is like, it's not necessarily financial freedom. Some people can be completely happy with $100,000 a year, which by the way, is very simple to do, right? If you want to make $10 million a year, very different. My lifestyle, I need to make a lot of money. That my lifestyle that I want to live, I need to make a lot of money. But you know, I freedom, a lot of people build a business first, which is what I did at the beginning of my career, and then try to fit life around that business. And then you don't have time for life because you're building the business. What I'm trying to do now is build a life, the lifestyle that I want, where I want, how I want, and then figure out how to make money around that. So I think people do it backwards sometimes.
Yeah. I really like that, man. I appreciate you sharing that perspective. And yeah, I could see that. I mean, what's the insurance on the Rolls Royce? What's the insurance on that alone?
I'm gonna keep it real with you. I don't even know.
I love it, dude.
My girlfriend asked me the other day. She's like, "How much does it cost to fill the gas tank up?" I was like, "I have no idea. Like, that's $100-ish, but like, you shouldn't be buying it if you got to ask those questions."
Yeah.
You
know? Yep. All right. So I won't buy one yet. That's funny, bro. Okay. So if we go back and look at your journey from 21 years old buying your first house till now, along that journey, what are the things that you're the most grateful for?
Look, like making money is great, right? But I'm very conscious now of my time. So, you know, being able to spend time with my family, you know, they're going on my mom and my dad are going on a vacation, a cool one. You know, I gave them a stack of cash. You know, I was like, hey, like, you know, thank you for, you know, raising me, like go out here and enjoy this stuff, you know, flying in first class to St. Martin, you know, the day before 24 hours, I was sitting there literally. And I was like, why is my family not here? Called my mom, my dad. I was like, y'all want to come? They're like, I don't know. I was like, you got the first flight out. You're in first class. Like I got goosebumps just talking about this.
Yeah, it gave me chills, man. Yeah,
that's cool. What I love doing, you know, helping the people that help me and helping people that I don't even know. That's what my fulfillment comes from now.
Dude, yeah, you just sent the goosebumps all down my back, man. I was able to take my mom on her first trip kind of out of the country. We didn't want to have to worry about passports, but I was able to take her to Puerto Rico this last year. And and one of my aunts and one of my uncles, and man, it was experience of a lifetime. Like I never thought that I'd be able to do that for my family. And they've done a lot for me. So to be able to give back, just like you're saying, is like, it makes the 20-hour days worth it, you know?
100%.
Cool, brother. Okay, last question is, what do you wish that people getting into real estate understood about real estate? What do you wish you could be like, if you could just force one thing in their brain and be like, dude, if you understand nothing, understand this, and you'll be successful?
I think it's what we touched on earlier. You know, it's not reserved for the rich and wealthy. It's not reserved for the highly educated. Like I say, real estate is the equalizer of all dummies. Like I know a lot of very smart people that are flat broke in real estate. And I know a lot of not so smart people that are making a lot of money within real estate. So like, it's literally out here for anybody. You know, again, you got to put the time in, you got to put the energy in, you can't give up, you got to get the education, you got to learn, you got to implement, you got to do all those things. But again, it's not, real estate is not if it works. Look at us, we're living proof. Mm-hmm. Look at tens of thousands of other people out there. It works. It's just, are you working the system? So yep. It's not a matter of if, but only when it does work. So I think a lot of people just have that fear. There's nothing to be fearful of because it's been proved many, 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 many times in the past.
Absolutely, brother. Well, I thought that this was probably one of the most impactful episodes we've done in a while. You shared so many gold nuggets. Really appreciate that. If people want to reach out to you, what's the best way for them to get a hold of you?
Yeah, Instagram, Austin Rutherford Official on Instagram is one of the best ways. And then YouTube, Austin Rutherford, and then theaustinrutherford.com as well.
Sweet, brother. We'll get all of those in the show notes. All right, guys, thanks for tuning in and listening to this week's episode. If you have more questions, feel free to reach out to Austin. Again, all the links will be below, so you can just click on them and you'll get funneled over to him. He's super active on Instagram. Your content is awesome there, man. Again, thank you so much for coming on.
Appreciate the opportunity, my man.
Absolutely, brother. All right. Thanks for tuning into this week's episode, you guys. For more awesome real estate content, you can check out my Instagram. It's just Noah_Evans_real estate. It'll also be in the show notes. If you want to reach out to the guest, their contact information and websites and however else to get a hold of them will also be in the show notes. All of our podcast episodes get thrown up to YouTube. And for more awesome exclusive content, please go check out the website. We'll have that link in the show notes below as well. All right. Peace.